Revealing the Truth is a half-hour program designed to share the deeper truths from the Bible. We invite you to join us now for today's study and to consider the following.
One of the first things that the Messiah spoke of concerning end-time events is that we are not to be deceived.
It has been almost 2,000 years since the Messiah has walked the earth. Satan has done much, from instilling pagan ideas into true worship, to actually encouraging men to cover up the true names of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Our mission and purpose is to reach people around the world with the message of the revealed personal names of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua the Messiah, as well as teaching the salvational truths that have been neglected for centuries. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's time to prepare.
I'm David Brett, here with John Fisher, bringing you Revealing the Truth. Today we want to talk about end-time events. And we want to talk about being deceived. And that's not something that any of us would want to be on purpose. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us want to be deceived about anything. Mm-hmm. And certainly when we think about being deceived, we would want to be studious when it comes to the Bible, mm-hmm. and study it to know what is right versus what is wrong. One of the problems that we're seeing today is people are calling bad good and good bad. And Yahweh Himself says, woe to those that call good bad and bad good. And so we have to be discerning. And I suppose we could use the analogy of funny money. You know, how would we discern whether or not a $20 bill, for example, is the real McCoy? Mm-hmm. Well, we would have to identify the real one first and see what is true about it. And then if someone tries to hand us a phony bill, we would be looking for certain attributes of that. And if they're not there, then we know it's false.
Well, I understand that those agents who are assigned to find counterfeit money only study the real thing. They don't study the false money, because then that gives them remembrances of the false rather than the true. So they only study the true. And it's analogous to what we do here. We look at the scripture to see what it says. And if what other people say about the scripture doesn't match what the scripture says, then what they're speaking is not true, simply put. We are inundated by a lot of traditions in this world, and traditions about what the scripture says. The idea of dispensationalism, where there was once the dispensation of the law, but now is the dispensation of grace. And so we no longer are under the law, we don't have to obey the law. That is completely false. Mm-hmm. The law is lifted up in the Old as well as the New Testament. Paul never has said that we don't have to be obedient to the law. And we understand, just as Paul describes, that just doing the law, being perfect in the law, does not grant us salvation. That's an act done by the Messiah of Yahweh, done by Yahshua, who took the stripes meant for us and died in our place that we might have eternal life. It's by belief in Him and the faith that He had that will bring salvation. Redemption is another issue. He's paid the price for us. And He will come back for those who accepted Him and followed in His path, which is obedience to mm-hmm. the Father. That's what He wants from us as well. It's not salvation, but it is redemption. There is a condition for our eventual redemption. He's not coming back for rotten fruit.
Right, yeah. And that's, you know, John the Baptist, when the Pharisees and Sadducees came, he said, who told you, essentially, you serpents, who told you,
about the coming kingdom?
Yeah, and he said, basically, produce fruits in line with repentance. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, really? The fruits that he's talking about are the works mm-hmm. of Obedience.
Of righteousness.
Yeah.
Okay. Who makes things right? Well, the Father makes things right. I mean, He's given us the right word.
Mm-hmm.
And by our obedience to the word, we walk in righteousness. We're still in the flesh.
Sure.
We still are out for ourselves. We're still self-concerned. We want to preserve ourselves. But it's actually giving of ourselves, like the Messiah did, giving all. Mm-hmm. That leads us into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of deception and deceiving, I mean, what's happening behind the scenes? Well, I think we can go back to the beginning and kind of get an idea of what's happening. Genesis 3, 1 through 4 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has Elohim said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" He's putting doubt in her mind. Verse 2 says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall surely not die.'" Now, isn't this exactly what is happening today? John, you just talked about, you know, those teaching the law is, you know, not really needing to be done today. Then that's contrary to what mm-hmm. Yahweh's word says.
Right.
And that's exactly the type of spirit that we see in the works today. Now, Revelation, let's fast forward, and we can still see congruity, the Bible dovetailing within in itself. It says, Revelation 12:9 says, 12 and verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim is,'" let's back up to verse 9. "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called devil and Satan," basically adversary, "who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." It says he deceives the whole world. Hmm. Now, this seems a little contrary to some of the teachings that we hear, that Yahweh is calling everyone, that the Savior came to save everyone, and that but that's not exactly what we find in Scripture. It says the straight and narrow path is not found by many. There are few there be that find that path, and wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there many go by. And so we have to look at Yahweh's word and see what it says. And this, and the things that are happening today in the Middle East, is basically Yahweh's timetable for prophecy. And there's President Mohamed Morsi right now, who's trying to take complete control of the country. And of course, he is one of the Muslim Brotherhood members. And not a lot of people may not recognize this, but they are pushing for Sharia law. They feel that is their religious duty to promote that. But those laws, many of them are not in line with Yahweh's word. So they're false, maybe a parallel false image. It's like the phony $20 bill. But many people will say, well, you know, this is in service to God, to capital G-O-D, but the God that they serve is named Allah. They're actually using that as a proper noun. Now, they may say, well, we're not, that's just a title, but they actually, in their five pillars to becoming a full-fledged member within Islam, they say you have to call upon Allah as the Elohim, and Muhammad as his prophet.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of false prophecy in this world, a lot of false teachings mm-hmm. as well, and we would be wise to use the Scripture as the standard of truth. And this, I mean, it gets into, we can talk for hours about moral relativism, where do morals come from, and mm-hmm. how are the laws connected to the morals. And ultimately, Yahweh gives the law that is good for mankind. It's for all mankind. I believe that Yahshua did die for all mankind.
For all that will submit.
Right, exactly. I mean, his gift is to mankind in general.
Sure.
But interestingly, we find in John 17 some words that might be really confusing. But let me read them. They're in John 17, beginning in verse 8. For I have given to them, this is a prayer of Yahshua to his father the day before he dies. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and they have have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Well, he is praying for those that Yahweh has given to them. And this goes back into, I mean, a whole other discussion. We'll probably do another series on that, about being called out and who is called. Those certainly who are seeking him, for the scripture does say, if you seek, then you will find. If you knock, then the door will be opened unto you. So does it mean that everyone who is knocking on the door and seeking is someone who is called out? Well, I would say so. Or else we would not be seeking, we'd not be knocking on the doors, we would not be inquiring for the truth.
I think one thing that we find in Scripture, speaking of prophecy, in our last episode, we went through a lot of current events that are happening in the world. We talked about, of course, President Mohammed Morsi. There's the Shiites against the Sunnis. We could talk about the Ten Toes, which appears to be in line with Psalm 83, which talks about 10 nations, all of those nations being of Arab descent. What's happening in the world? Hamas just had their 25th anniversary. They were cheering in the streets. They were also cheering in the streets because the Palestinians celebrated the UN statehood vote that happened with the United Nations, that they're recognized now as being a bit of a state, even though it's only in word at this point. But it's pushing for a two-state Israel, essentially, and there's going to have to be a peace process and all this take place. But I think in answering the question, what's next, I think what's happening is in Amos 8 and verse 11, verse 12, it says, "Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh Elohim, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but rather for the hearing of the words of Yahweh. People will stagger from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of Yahweh, but they will not find it." Now, what happened? What has happened in England? You know, when we turn on the news and we see things happening from Europe, we see a lot of sports. Everyone's excited about what the sports activities are, whether it's soccer or this or that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the churches, they're basically empty, except for the mosques. The mosques are growing. Islam is growing. But the words of Yahweh are vanishing. And we had a couple that were here not too long ago. They came from Europe. She was a Jew. He wasn't. But they said, basically, what is happening over there is coming to America. That is the famine of the hearing of the words of Yahweh, and a new set of laws and a new way of doing things coming up from this new religion that is considered one of the fastest growing in the world.
Any businessman knows that if you want a successful company, you have to have rules and standards and procedures, and they all have to be in a logical sequence. What happens to people who are told that the law is dead, that we no longer have to abide by the law of Yahweh? And they'll call it the law of Moses, but it's not his law. It's the law of Yahweh given to Moses to give to mankind.
Sure. Well, there comes relativism. We can decide for what's right for ourselves. But that's contrary to the word of Yahweh.
Eliyahu will come and restore all things before the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. What does this mean? Find the answer to this question by receiving our free pamphlet, This is the Eliyahu Message. To do this, visit us online at www.yaiy.org or write to YAIY 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or call us toll free at 1-877-642-4101.
So what is happening today is a deceiving spirit, an anti-Messiah type spirit that is coming and is growing. And what we need to do as a people is to get back to the word of Yahweh before it completely disappears.
Right.
But it's not going to completely disappear.
Right.
Because Yahweh is coming and sending his son coming back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's prophesied that there will be a remnant of Israel and made up of the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Well, who's the house of Israel? It's those 10 tribes that were scattered to the world who have taken up and assimilated into the world religion. Well, what religion is that? What's the greatest religion in the world in terms of numbers? Well, it's Christianity. They have the Messiah, the Word, and the house of Judah, Judaism, has the Word as well. It's the written Word that they preserve. In Ezekiel 37, it talks about how the house of Israel and the house of Judah will be one in the hand of Yahweh. He's going to make sure that his people survive. When Yahshua came the first time, he came to Judah and he sent his disciples where? In chapter 10 of Matthew and of chapter 15. He came only for the house of Israel. He sent his 12 disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so as we follow him, as he was obedient to the Father, then we are walking in the path that Yahweh gave to us, and walking in the law. And the law organizes us into a pattern, as we were talking about earlier. Any organization, I mean, that's an interesting word, organized, right? Mm-hmm. But if we have people who have different ideas about how the companies should be led, both the leaders and the people who are employees, it's going to be chaos and the business is going to fail. Those who are Muslim follow one law and they are excited about that law and they follow it to a T. And the discipline in that religion is very strict. Mm-hmm. In Christianity, you know, we no longer have to obey the law because it's been nailed to the tree.
Yeah.
And so we can do as we want. It's freedom. It's liberty. No, it's liberty from sin. And it's not to sin. It's to obey the law.
Well, the law of liberty, as James brought out. In fact, he talks about not only the law of liberty, the royal law. He says the whole law.
Right.
What is he talking about? He's talking about Scripture. This is what they had in the New Testament. And what is, why has there been a neglect of Yahweh's word? It was prophesied. I mean, we're talking about end time prophecy. Mm-hmm. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, starting there. Preach the word, be ready. Okay, what word? Be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's the time we're in right now.
Right.
They're not enduring sound doctrine. Why? It says, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Relativism. Mm-hmm. Their own ways. Their own thoughts. It says in verse 4, and they will turn away from the truth and will turn aside to myths, false teachings. Now, to really pinpoint what Paul is speaking of here, we have to go back just a little bit in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, starting there, and it says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Okay, what are the sacred writings? Word of Yahweh. And have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Yahshua. Okay, we're justified in Him. We're not justified in the law, but we can certainly be in error and be cast aside and not win the race if we don't do the works according to the word of Yahweh. So verse 16, it says, all scripture, therefore, essentially, is inspired by Yahweh and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of Elohim may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And this is where it leads into preach the word. This is what they had. These New Testament letters we're seeing are just the sharing of the word, essentially, and the faith in Messiah, because He came to forgive us of our past sins, wipes away the death penalty from us, because what was happening is they'd have to go and kill animals to to try to be in right with Yahweh, but they didn't have Yahweh's Spirit, which was really needed. And you, of course, look into Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10, and you see what Yahweh is doing today is a little different than what He had done before, but the same principle still stood. His nature doesn't change. He wanted the people to be obedient from the heart. And so now we're given a spirit, which was prophesied to be given, so that we would be what? We would be obedient to the laws, the statutes, the judgments of Yahweh Elohim.
Right. And the first agreement was He gave the law and the people agreed to do it. So it was a bilateral agreement. But the new covenant is Yahweh gives the law, puts it into our mind and our heart so that we might be obedient. And the Spirit is given to us by the laying on the hands of the elders, that that person might be able to obey the commandments.
But it seems like we're coming at a point in time in history in which there are so many things going on right now that prophecy, the very end of the age prophecy, can now be fulfilled. And when we go back to Matthew 24, going on beyond what the Messiah told the disciples, because they asked Him what would be the sign of the coming of the end of the age and His coming. And, the first thing, of course, He says is don't be deceived. And then He goes on, it says, for nation will rise against nation in Matthew 24 and verse 7, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. We just had a couple major earthquakes in China, off the east coast of Japan. Mm-hmm. And this last one was 7.3, I think, on the Richter, and they had a small tsunami, but the one before that caused devastation. Now, the thing about the earthquakes, interestingly enough, is it seems to be hitting areas that are heavily populated. Haiti, China, Iran. We had, of course, this one in Japan. It affected a lot of people. The earthquakes in the past, not so many people were involved, but now more people are involved with these major earthquakes. Mm-hmm. But there has been some evidence that these are increasing in magnitude and in in time, there's shorter amounts of time in between when they're happening. Yeah. But we're seeing some of these things take place. But it says that these things are merely the beginnings of birth pains. So the real serious stuff is coming, but we see things happening in the Middle East which are astonishing. I mean, whole governments have been toppled and there's been a rearranging of government down there, and we could be seeing the rising of an identification of the King of the North and the King of the South and these type of things. And I think when we look at Psalms 83, we're actually looking at prophecy being fulfilled and identification of the people, because it says that in verse 4 of Psalm 83, they have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation. Who? Says that the name of Israel be remembered no more. Well, we have the Iranian President Ahmadinejad. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is his name. But he wants to wipe Israel off the map. Well, there's a lot of people around the nation of Israel, which, wasn't really, we couldn't have Gog come down from Magog into Israel until that formed over there again, because they weren't there. And then back in 1948, lo and behold, now prophecy can be fulfilled as far as Gog, from Magog coming down. But there has to be unwalled cities there, unwalled, ungated. That means there's going to have to be some sort of peace process put into place. And that is the desire of people over there right now.
Right. And now we're going through the birth pains. I mean, it's kind of interesting. We talk about being reborn, and we're in the birth pains now. That means we're not born yet. But when will we be born? When the Messiah comes.
From above.
When he comes, we'll be born from above. The womb is basically the grave. And when we die, and we are dead, we are asleep, and we don't go to heaven when we die. We are in the grave and asleep. And when Messiah comes, then those who are righteous, those who are obedient to the law of Yahweh, will be raised, mm-hmm. and that womb will be opened, and we are then born again. The first resurrection. Of course, there's the second resurrection after the millennial reign, in which those who are either unrighteous or have never been taught the word will be raised from the grave.
Mm-hmm. In going and continuing in Psalm 83, it says that these are the tents of Edom and Ishmaelites and Moab and Hagarites and Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia and Tyre, which is present-day Lebanon, scholars think. And then Assyria, that's 10. Well, when we go back to Daniel and it talks about the last empire arising, it's talking about 10 toes. And these 10 toes are mixed with iron and clay. They seem to be strong, like Hamas just had their 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. But the Shiites are against the Sunnis, and there's different factions among them. But they all have a similar desire to wipe Israel off the map and to have Sharia law implemented and to have everyone being in line with the Quran and the Hadith and these type of things that are with a religion that is out of the ballpark when it comes to what Judah believes or what Christians believe. But yet you hear of terms like Chrislam, because Christians have given up the law, and so, well, we all serve the same mighty one. Really, do we? You know, the Catholics took out in August of 2008 the name of Yahweh out of their liturgy. They made that edict, the Pope did, who happens to be German. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's just we see things happening. Mm-hmm. And so what do we need to do? Well, we need to be aware, and I think we need to wake up. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40 says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." We are to be servants of the Most High, Yahweh.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time as we look into more of Yahweh's Word and His revealed truth.